Good morning. I'm going to be talking about Project Libra, which Libra is what we call the analytic tool that we developed to conduct comparative effectiveness analysis on a multi-payer claims database. It was developed by my colleagues and myself at Thomson Reuters in collaboration with the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation at HHS. My disclosure is the study was funded by ASPE. There's also a commercial version of the tool that Thomson Reuters is developing called Treatment Pathways. So what was the motivation? You heard some of this in the last presentation, but when the RFP came out, it noted that private industry and the government is sitting on terabytes of claims data that is potentially very valuable for asking comparative effectiveness questions and all sorts of other health services research questions, but it's very difficult for researchers to access and use that data. If you've ever tried to go through the process of obtaining files from CMS, you know that that's the case. And so what they asked us to do in this study is to, first of all, link disparate data sources. So take data from different payers, Medicare, Medicaid, private insurance, and link them into one database so we didn't have to do separate analyses on every different payer population, and then to develop a tool that would allow one to easily analyze that data. And so what we came up with, we call Libra. It's a web-based tool, and what we've tried to do in the tool is to build in the logic that one would use, the processes and steps that one would use in typically conducting a comparative effectiveness study. So that starts with picking your database, defining your analytic population by applying inclusion and exclusion criteria, identifying what treatment you want to focus on or treatments, defining your outcome, your other variables of interest, and then doing some reporting and analysis, and we build in some SAS functionality in which to do that. So what I'm going to talk about is a feasibility study that we conducted, one of two, in order to test out the functionality, the ease of use, how Libra would work. And this study focuses on the question of reducing hospital readmission rates, which is of high interest lately. In particular, we're focusing on the question of does post-discharge follow-up reduce readmission rates for folks with depression? And as I go through this, I don't want you to focus so much on the research and whether you would have done the research a little differently, but focus on the fact that we did this whole study in about 3 days. It didn't involve a programmer. It didn't involve anyone with any SAS training. It was all done sitting at our desks, thinking about, you know, what variables we wanted to use and punching it in and getting out results. So this is a screenshot of the tool. Underlying the tool for Libra was Medicare, our market scan Thomson Reuters commercial claims data, our market scan Medicare data, our market scan Medicaid data. We also have HCUP, National Inpatient Sample, though we didn't use it for this study, and the Medicare Chronic Condition Warehouse. But you can put other data underneath the tool. What we had to do was put it into a common data model, which meant using the same formats and definitions in order to merge the data. So when you said, I want to pick someone who was hospitalized, the definition would be the same whether you're working with CMS data or Thomson Reuters data, for example. So after we selected the data, and for this study, again, we're using Medicaid, Medicare, and commercial claims data, we wanted to define our population, our cohort of interest. We're interested in people who were hospitalized for depression, so we type in the diagnoses that we want, the depression diagnoses, and we type in that we want these folks to have these diagnoses as a primary diagnosis on a hospitalization, and we end up with about 103,000 patients. And then we decide, well, we want to use some other inclusion-exclusion criteria. Typically what you'll do in claims data is require some enrollment period, because particularly in Medicaid and commercial insurance, people come on and off of insurance, and you want to follow people over time. You need to get a population that's continuously enrolled. So we required people to be enrolled for a year, and we ended up with about 53,000 people after we applied that enrollment criteria. So you can start to play with the relationship between your criteria and your sample size. Often there's a tension there. You want to follow people as long as possible, but you lose sample and you wonder about generalizability, and you can see in real time what the implications are of using longer enrollment periods. Another criteria in this study, we wanted to look at people who had not been hospitalized previously for at least a year, which sometimes would be called a clean period in an outcomes research study, and that brought us down to about 50,000 people. And then we wanted to eliminate people who were transferred to another facility or who died in the hospital. We only wanted people who were discharged to home, and that ended up with a final sample of about 38,000-39,000 people. And so what you end up with is a nice graphical display, which is typical of what you would find in your first table in an outcomes research paper, which would be your attrition table. Next, we wanted to define some variables. There's some built-in variables like demographics. There's some built-in comorbidity indexes, such as the chronic disease score and the Charlson comorbidity index. But the real strength of this tool is that it really capitalizes on the strength of longitudinal claims data, which is that you can follow people over time. It's not static. And so in building your variables, you can define things relative to an index date. So in this case, we're interested in what were their healthcare conditions prior to the initial hospitalization. What percent of people had a depression diagnosis, an anxiety diagnosis, any other psychiatric diagnosis prior to their first hospitalization? What kind of medications were they using? What percent were using antipsychotics or antidepressants? What were the pre-period utilization patterns? And then we wanted to look post-hospitalization and define, of course, our key independent variable, which is what percent of people got follow-up or had an outpatient visit within 7 days of discharge. And then we wanted to find our outcome variable, which was what percent of people were readmitted. Was a person readmitted within 30 days for depression? So we can do all of that within the tool. Okay, and then once we define our variables, we can start doing different analyses. And again, this has SAS built into it. And so here you can, one thing that we did was estimate a logistic regression model. You don't need to know SAS stat to do this. You just pick your dependent variable, your independent variables, and it runs the SAS stat program for you. So here's some results to give you a flavor of the kind of information that you can quickly get out of this data. First of all, just what is the rate of readmissions? We see that 6% of people who were initially hospitalized for depression were readmitted within 30 days for depression. We can compare those people who did have a readmission to those who did not. You can see that folks who are readmitted tend to have more medical comorbidities, higher Charlson comorbidity index. They tend to have more psychiatric illness diagnosed prior to their first hospitalization. They're more likely to be diagnosed with depression, anxiety, or other psychiatric disorders. They're more likely to be using medications prior to their first hospitalization. They're more likely to be using antidepressants, anxiolytics, and antipsychotics. And they had higher utilization rates prior to their first hospitalization. And what really struck me in these statistics is the one at the very bottom where you can see the length of stay of their index hospitalization. It's almost three times as large for people with a readmission, 23 days, which is very long for a typical psychiatric hospitalization versus 8 days for those without. So I think what really stands out here is you see the issue of severity of illness coming through here, and that people who are readmitted are much more severe. And so that's something you're going to have to approach if you want to compare the effect of follow-up, because you're going to have a huge selection issue, which is typical for observational studies, comparative effectiveness observational studies. And you see, you know, before you even head into it, what you're up against here. This next slide compares those with and without follow-up. About 66% of the population in the sample is followed within got a follow-up visit within a week. They're not too different in terms of the characteristics of those with and without. Those without tended to be a little more severe on some measures, although not on others. The thing that really struck me in this data is the line second from the bottom where it says physician office visits. That's the number of office visits in the year prior to their first hospitalization. And you can see almost twice as many office visits, 31 office visits among those who had follow-up as compared to 16 among those without. So what this suggests to me is that patients who were engaged with their providers in the treatment system prior to their first hospitalization were more likely to be engaged after their hospitalization. So perhaps suggesting a role for prevention, an early intervention. So here's a bivariate analysis. Is there any support just in a bivariate context for our hypothesis? And yes, there is. Folks with follow-up had somewhat lower readmission rates than folks without follow-up. Oops. And then here's the logistic regression results. The odds of being readmitted are lower if you have follow-up within 7 days than do not have follow-up within 7 days, controlling for other factors. Oops. So just to conclude, you know, the story is that we do find support for follow-up visits having a positive effect on reducing hospital readmissions, all else equal. But more to the point, we were able to conduct this health services research study, a pretty sophisticated study, within just a few days within this Libra environment. We were able to identify our population of interest, apply inclusion and exclusion criteria, identify a variety of variables that were associated with the outcomes, and run the multivariate analysis. And so I think in terms of the role that Libra can play in research studies, you can use it in a variety of ways. It doesn't have to be the whole study. As I said earlier, just evaluating sample size before you get into the study may be useful. Do you even have power to conduct the study? What selection criteria do you want to use for choosing your sample? How does that affect sample size? What's the frequency of the outcome? Just knowing how many patients are readmitted by disease can be a very powerful piece of information. The threat of selection bias, and then hypothesis generation and testing. We continue to develop the tool in the form of treatment pathways, adding new functionality and incorporating additional data. And I look forward to any comments or questions you might have.